All right, welcome to session four of the Performance Project. Once again, this is Jen Verheeren of jenverheeren.com and Cadence Coaching. Now that you've set a goal, I'm going to ask you to think about the core habits that you'll put in place that will move you in the direction of your goal. I call these core habits for high performance. These habits can be lifestyle habits, mental skills habits, health and fitness habits, whatever. Pick one or two things that you want to do on a regular basis that you know will fill your reservoir and help you accomplish your goal. Some of them will evolve as we begin to talk about concrete strategies for accessing courage next week, but there are probably things you already know that you'd like to be doing on a regular basis to support your goal. All right, check. See you in session five. Not. If it was as easy as that to establish good habits, we'd all wear ideal weight, ride 6 days a week, run marathons every weekend, and have already written the great American novel. But as you know, it's not that easy, so it warrants some attention from us. First off, maintaining good habits is not just about having more self-discipline or stronger willpower. You are not lazy or undisciplined. You are human. I feel that it's useful to understand why, as human beings, we tend to procrastinate and put things off, even when they are super important to us. Generally, bad habits are easy to maintain because they give us some sort of immediate gratification, even though they're usually detrimental in the long run. Good habits are hard to maintain because there's usually a higher cost in the moment, but a payoff in the long run. This means that it takes a high level of commitment over time to keep a good habit going. It often also means that you'll need to do your thing despite not feeling like it, despite sneaky emotions that can sabotage your efforts, and despite the lame stories that your inner critic tells you. One of my mantras is action precedes inspiration. Action precedes inspiration. It's common for us as humans to think that we need to wait to feel inspired to get some important task or activity done. We have the misguided notion that we need to feel particularly moved or empowered in order to get into action and do something creative or constructive. I am telling you right now, though, that this is not the case. It is action that fuels inspiration. And the resistance that you feel to getting into action or keeping a good habit going at times is a normal part of the human condition. So before I ask you to commit to a habit or two, I'd like to talk a little bit about resistance, with a capital R, and procrastination. With the idea that this won't be just another time that you set out to do that thing and then not do it. Okay, this is not going to be just another time that you set out to do that thing, whatever it is, and then not do it. So why do we all experience procrastination and resistance? Action, by its very nature, is creative. No matter what you're doing, you're bringing something new into existence. Do you ever wonder why there are things that you know you want to do, things you know would help move you toward your goals, and yet you just cannot seem to get them done? Are there times that a mental block can feel almost tangible, like you could lean forward and bang your head up against a real wall? A few years ago, I read this awesome little book called The War of Art, Breaking Through Blocks and Winning Your Inner Creative Battles by Stephen Pressfield. I talk about this book all the time. Pressfield is a writer, obviously, I suppose, and he writes about his belief that we all have two lives. We all have two lives, the life we live and the unlived live within us. It's his contention that what stands between those two lives is resistance, with a capital R, the life we live and the unlived life within us. Part of what this program is about is living the life you're meant to live. Pressfield writes, "Have you ever brought home a treadmill and let it gather dust in the attic? Ever quit a diet, a course of yoga, a meditation practice? Have you ever bailed out on a call to embark on a spiritual practice, dedicate yourself to a humanitarian calling, commit your life to the service of others? Have you ever wanted to be a mother, a doctor, an advocate for the weak and helpless, to run for office, to crusade for the planet, campaign for world peace, or to preserve the environment? Late at night, have you experienced a vision of the person that you might become, the work you could accomplish, the realized being you were meant to be? Are you a writer who doesn't write, a painter who doesn't paint, an entrepreneur who never starts a venture? Then you know what resistance is. As powerful as is our soul's call to realization, so potent are the forces of resistance arrayed against it. He goes on to say that any act that rejects immediate gratification in favor of long-term growth, health, or integrity can elicit resistance, with the capital R. Things like pursuing a creative calling, launching a project, staying on a diet or exercise program, overcoming a bad habit or addiction, following through on an act of moral courage, or taking a principled stand in the face of adversity. All of these things invite resistance. At times, it can seem that resistance comes from outside ourselves. We find it in our spouses, our jobs, our kids, and our schedules, even our horses. The truth is, though, that it comes from within. I'd like you to consider that, like your inner critic, resistance is not you. Resistance, which is interchangeable with your inner critic voice sometimes, will tell you almost anything to keep you from taking action and reason with you like a lawyer. Though it is in you, it is not unique to you. It is not personal. Resistance is in all of us, and we can all fight it. If we couldn't, there'd be no War and Peace, no Romeo and Juliet, and there would be no Eiffel Tower. Resistance is fear, plain and simple. Pressfield writes again, "We fear discovering that we are more than we think we are, more than our parents, our children, our teachers think we are. We fear that we actually possess the talent that our still small voice tells us, that we actually have the guts, the perseverance, the capacity. We fear that we truly can steer our ship, plant our flag, reach our promised land. We fear this because if it's true, then we become estranged from all we know." Think about that. How does resistance show up for you? It is only by going professional that we win our private battles with resistance. And in the Performance Project, I am asking you to show up, follow through, and take action no matter what. If we stay committed for the long haul, we will beat resistance at its own game. Going pro is not about doing something for money. In fact, the more you love your goal or your writing or your art or your calling, and the more important it is to the evolution of your soul, the more resistance you will feel facing it. Going pro is about the attitude that it produces. It's about, as Pressfield says, the hardcore, hard head, hard hat state of mind that shows up for work despite rain or snow or dark of night and slugs it out day after day. And I'm asking you here to go pro. Consider that your goal is important to the evolution of your soul. Show up, hard hat in hand, every day. Tolstoy had 13 kids and he still wrote War and Peace. You can let resistance continue to keep you stalled out, or you can liberate yourself from it by acting first and expecting inspiration later. If you feel like you're already constantly in action but still not where you'd like to be, know that resistance can keep you very busy circling around your real work. Take advantage of this program to get to the heart of what matters to you most so you can identify the busy work resistance assigns you and liberate yourself from it. What do you want to let go of? What do you need to let go of? Here are the concrete things I'd like you to think about doing when it comes to your habits. Number one, identify the trigger for not keeping your habit. Pinpoint whatever it is that usually sidetracks you or keeps you from doing what you know you want to do. For many of us, it's getting on Facebook for just a sec, or taking a quick look at your email, or catching up on the news for a minute, or sitting down to take a short break before heading to the barn, or staying cozy in bed for one more snooze cycle. all of these short, quick little things can end up eating away literally hours out of your days. These are examples of what I call leaky holes. You can feel really busy all the time, but not get much done because time is leaking out all over the place. Once you identify the trigger for not doing your thing, decide what you can do to change it. You want to intercept this pattern before willpower is required to shift gears. So this may mean changing your routine, putting your phone in another room with the alarm set, using an online app to block your SM access, whatever. I've learned that there's always something you can do to eliminate the trigger and find one that gets you into your good habit. Brainstorm about this. Number two, acknowledge the emotion that might be stopping you. Sometimes there's this subtle discomfort or fear or sadness or whatever that creeps in and keeps you from doing what you want to do. And honestly, most of the time, all it takes is noticing it and naming it, and you'll be able to get past it. So next time you feel resistance, with a capital R, show up, ask yourself what emotion you're really feeling. It doesn't really matter what it's about. Why is usually less important than what and how. So acknowledge the emotion that might be stopping you. Number three, put structures or accountability in place that make it easy for you to keep the agreements that you make with yourself. So instead of just thinking that you need to pound that screw harder with your hammer, strategize. Think about what you can do to set yourself up for success and make your thing as easy as possible to do. Maybe you enlist a friend or family member to support you. Maybe you take your clothes along with you so you can go straight to the barn after work. Maybe you prioritize yourself in your own schedule. Whatever you can do to make keeping your commitment to yourself even a little bit easier will go a long way toward winning the battle against resistance. Okay, so put structures or accountability in place that make it easy for you to keep your agreements that you make with yourself. There is truly magic in making a new start. I'm going to leave you with this quote for this session. W.H. Murray was a Scottish mountaineer who spent 3 years as a prisoner of war. Not until I found out more about him did his words have more meaning for me. While he was in prison, Murray wrote a book called Mountaineering in Scotland. The first draft of the work was written on the only paper available to him, rough toilet paper. The manuscript was found and destroyed by the Nazis. Murray's response to this loss was to start again, even though his physical condition was so poor from near starvation that he believed he would never climb again. The book was finally published in 1947. He wrote, "Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now." Okay, this is it. What is going to make this time different for you? Next week will be a crash course in emotional resilience and cultivating courage. This week, get present and decide what you need to do to create a super strong foundation. Remember that we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, therefore, is not an act, but a habit. Another one of my favorite quotes by Aristotle. Take the time this week to answer the following questions in your training notebook. What are your 1 to 3 core habits that you want to put in place? Include what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, and how you're going to do it. Number two, what emotion or fear has stopped you from sustaining these core habits in the past? Number three, what structures or accountability will you put in place to support your core habits? And number four, Why do these habits matter? Thank you again for letting me take up some space in your day. I'll see you in session 5.